We should be caroling at the beginning of our December episodes, like
caroling.
Welcome, Shoujo listeners, to our show, or something.
We're here to talk about Shoujo.
Blah blah blah. My happy marriage.
What, you are? That's crazy. These are good episodes. These episodes gave me everything I wanted, basically. She doesn't tell a joke, but I got everything else out of these episodes.
Oh, okay.
Crazy that you are not into it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Our biggest split yet.
I'm not feeling it. I dislike this show.
I know.
Or I would have stopped watching it maybe if I was watching solo. Or it's only 12 episodes and maybe I would have
powered
to. I don't know.
We're in the episode, right? That was our opening, you caroling.
Hi, guys. Shoujo Podcast here. I'm Sarah. That's Joe. Talking about My Happy Marriage, of which we're supposed to talk about ourselves first and then do that. But we're in it.
I have to tell you, because this came up in my personal life. My mom is furious that you... that you hate this show so much.
Oh, see, I went so high-pitched in my, like, oh, no, your mom and me disagree on something. Mic did not even pick it up. I was
You do disagree on something, and it is.
You just haven't seen better. You haven't seen enough better shoujo yet.
Okay. She's noting how this show's depictions of trauma are pretty good.
Okay. Well, she's more experienced in that, I guess, than I am. Yeah. No, I can disagree with Joe, but not Joe's mom.
That's right.
No.
It's the beginning of the end for us. It's all downhill from here.
Oh my God.
We're all going to have different opinions. It's just we're going to be haters. We're all going to hate each other.
Ooh, okay, well, maybe for season two, your mom comes on and defends the show.
Maybe she will.
She'll do a better job.
She won't, but... she listens, so when I say this, she's probably reacting to it.
Okay. I just did not enjoy it, but, you know, it could just be a me thing. It's a perfectly fine show. I don't care for it.
Let me tell you.
That's okay.
It is a you thing, because I thought these were really good episodes, so, but we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Fine. Okay.
All right.
Now I'm going to be haunted knowing
what's going on in your life that you want to talk about on the podcast.
I've got a dog grumbling at me. She's like, oh, my God, I can't. Shame on you for disagreeing with Joe's mom is what she's saying.
Yeah.
How can I live with myself? What have I been up to? Let's see. I just finished My Hero Academia, which I'm not going to get into spoilers, but another finale where I'm like, eh.
You don't like an infinite boss battle?
Well, I don't like the boss. I guess. Sorry, hold.
We're doing dog maintenance.
Oh, well, she's being.
I don't know.
It's like she's doing the Chihuahua thing where like she acts like she wants you, but then when you like come here and then she's like, no.
Yep, I can see her. Pensive.
Yes. Look at her. She's so cute. Okay. What am I doing? I don't like the hero or the villain of that show. So it wasn't like I didn't give a rat's ass about him or the end or whatever.
Yeah.
I am restless for a game to play. So.
Oh.
I tried playing. I have like 8 hours logged into Pathfinder, Rite of the Rat. Or was it Wrath of the Righteous or whatever? Each time I play it, it's just I may play an hour and then I'm like, this game is so I couldn't even be bothered to start a character. I was like, this is even the character creator is so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't feel equipped to play that game. So I like, I just decided to re-download Baldur's Gate 3 and try working on my Dark Urge playthrough. I'm like so close to finishing that playthrough. So that's like what I'm doing.
Yeah. So in My Hero,
I just really want a game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back to the anime. Yes.
Back to the anime, because I want to ask you.
No spoilers.
What part do you feel? Because you weren't too hot on the end, right?
No.
What part? When do you think it falls off? Because this is what I'm interested in.
Okay. I haven't like rewatched it. I've maybe rewatched the first season when I introduced it to someone, but other than that, it's not a series I've revisited. I've just picked up when a new season comes out. I think after, I feel like I enjoyed it until maybe the internship stuff or something. I prefer when it's more school lifey, but then once they start doing the like real world things, maybe it's not as much doing it for me.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
What you got?
I mean, my part is the part where like there's a whole arc that's centered on like all of the villains, because the villains just don't have it in this show.
Oh yeah, no, I don't care about any of them. And
yeah, well, it's like
they try to make that a whole thing where they have their dynamic too, blah blah blah. But I don't care.
They have their dynamic, but it's just like, I feel like the problem is that this is a show without politics, right? Like, it doesn't have anything to say about good and evil. So like, they can't, the motivations just aren't there. One character, one villain has a legitimately good motivation that I'm like, it feels like the entire show should be about this, but it's not. But he's like a side character and they kind of sweep it under the rug.
Am I allowed to ask which one I think it is you're talking about?
Yeah. It's the guy who's Spinner? A lizard. Yes.
Yeah.
Spinner. The only like real world analog to an actual problem that exists in real life where you're like, oh yeah, that would be like, they absolutely should be mad about this, mm-hmm. is really, it's introduced late and it's not handled well.
Well, I feel like the whole appeal of the show, or what makes it distinct, was that it's kind of like embracing being kind of goofy and cartoony. Like, it's not trying to be a super serious, super, you know, everyone has like zany names and stuff and the quirks are weird. And then, so like, if we get away from that, then that's the part that makes it, I guess, different from.
Yeah, but that's why I think it falls apart at the villain thing, because that's when they try to pivot of being like, that's what this story is going to be about, the conflict with these guys. But those guys they're not doing anything compelling, particularly. Like, I mean, some of them are kind of fun.
Even
like,
the one that has a connection to like the main cast is not that compelling.
Yeah, so could have just been fun times at school. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess we got Toga, which people like to cosplay as, and that's about it.
Yeah, pretty weird ending to that show.
Yeah. Well, I keep seeing people being like, oh, the animation of like the last episodes, because like everyone's hair looks better or something. And I don't, meh. Yeah. Bleh. Whatever. Yeah. I enjoyed it well enough until, it's not like I finished it, I guess. It's not like I never finished it. Like, I haven't finished Attack on Titan because I was just kind of like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, that show becomes entirely different in that last season.
I know.
It's like a different genre.
I feel like that's one that's like hard to follow. Once we get to the like, oh, it's bigger than you thought it was, then I lose the plot.
Yeah.
I'm lost. I'm lost after they start launching people over. So.
Yep. It gets pretty hard.
I just need to rewatch all of that. But I feel like it's just the first season was good. And then the rest, I was like, I liked it when everything was just crazy and I didn't have to be explained things. It's just, once it gets complicated.
It's good when it's a horror mystery. And then it becomes about really muddled politics. And I'm kind of like, the whole time I'm like, is this good?
Yeah. Not a thing. I'm trying to think of like any anime where like the politics, I don't even real life like politics, let alone in my anime. So it's like are there any?
Yeah.
That I like it in? I don't know.
I'm not talking about politics in terms of like literal like.
I know.
I'm talking about politics about the ideas of the world. Metal Alchemist. Good politics.
Yeah,
in that.
Yeah, that's true. That's good.
And rules.
That is a very good example of it. Yeah.
Part of the thing I like about Gundam is the weird politics in Gundam, which aren't always good, but they're usually pretty interesting.
I guess Full Metal is a very good example. I'm actually I never read it, but Webtoons has it like on their app for whatever reason. So I was like, been reading the manga on that.
Is it good? I haven't read it either.
Well, it's like weird because it's like the same as the original series where it's an interesting start because I feel like I don't care about all these like little tiny towns they're visiting looking for the Philosopher's Stone. And that's like what the beginning of the manga is. So I'm like, oh, it's interesting that like there's, this isn't, I don't know, necessarily super compelling, but
It's got like a slow start.
Yes. Which I guess at the time that Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood came out, I was like, oh, wow, this is a crazy start. Like, I'm so used to the slow start that I'm doubting that this is the start and I didn't accidentally skip an episode or something.
Right. Yeah.
First episodes are vital, I feel like. Because I feel like there's a lot of animes with really good first episodes, because when you're trying to get, when your sister's like, I don't want to watch new things, I only want to rewatch old things, you gotta find things with a good first episode so that she's not griping so much that you show her new things.
Yeah,
like I feel like Bleach had a pretty good first opening.
Heard that, I haven't watched this, but I've heard that Psycho Pass has a really good first episode.
You know, that is a show I watched a bit of. I don't remember very much of it very well. I mostly just thought the main guy was cool looking, so I stuck with it to look at him. First episode is very important. I mean, it's only 20 minutes, but at least it's not like, you know, if it's slow, it's forever. But
Ava has a good first episode.
Ava?
Evangelion.
Oh. Gotcha.
Good first episode. Gundam has a good first episode, I think.
Yeah. Oh, look at us talking about anime. Look at us.
Yeah, that's what we do. We barely ever talk about it because we're not really watching it. I'm almost done with the Big O. I have two more episodes of the Big O left. The ending is weird, but it's getting pretty good, at least. So,
you know, I think I went on our first date with someone. I don't remember. I feel like I talked to somebody about this within the last month or two where they're like, oh, yeah, I remember watching that. And I was like, Joe watched that show. I never heard of it ever before, but people have seen it. It's not just you, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. I'm still watching. I picked since I finished The Sopranos, I picked back up Turn A Gundam, and I'm having a good time with that. Good show. They do laundry with the Gundam. It's good.
Oh, okay. Cute. Yeah. Place of life. How about the Game Awards?
Huh?
Any thoughts on the Game Awards?
I didn't watch them.
I just saw one. I don't know if you... No, probably not. There's disgusting trailer by Larian Studios.
Oh, the Divinity one? I didn't see that.
I like the trailer, but I know I'm going to play the game. But, like, what is that? Why would they make that?
Yeah, so it's like, I saw a post where people are like, oh, people are overreacting about the new Divinity trailer. And I'm like... Okay, so I go and watch it, and I'm just like, yeah, it does kind of seem like they're going for the gross out.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like, why? Just show... It's just unnecessary, like, being gross, I guess.
Well, it also just doesn't really tell you anything about what's going to be going on in this game.
No, I mean, granted, it's a announcement trailer, so those typically don't, but... Like
for people who don't know what this is a trailer where, as part of like a harvest festival or some kind of festival, you like witness a public execution more or less, but it goes wrong in some way. And
it's very visceral.
Yeah. Like some kind of otherworldly thing happens at the end. But it's pretty graphic.
It's just in a way excessive that is like, for not a meaningful way.
It seems like they're going, like, that's the tone. The tone is like brutality. And I'm like, is that what Divinity is about? Because I played Divinity 2. And
well,
like,
I can't tell if it's related.
It kind of was, I guess.
Or not.
But I don't know.
I can't. It wasn't like that. Ugh. It's just gross. Whatever. I trust Larian Studios. I just am like, I don't know what we're doing. Or maybe they're just like testing boundaries. Since they were so successful with Baldur's Gate 3, let's see what we can get away with now that we have like this, like,
I mean, it was cool.
Amount of faith placed in us.
I feel like it was. I was okay with it because I knew that it was going to be like over the top because that's what people were talking about. But if I had just seen that out of nowhere, I'd probably be like, "What the heck was this thing?"
I mean, yeah, it's not. I mean, normally it's like I'll rewatch a trailer because it's like, "Oh, I'm excited," but that's not one I want to revisit. I guess it's definitely more memorable than the very like not interesting announcement trailer for something called Fate of the Old Republic or whatever. That it's like a successor to Knights of the Old Republic, but I can't. Does that mean that they're not remaking KOTOR?
Okay, I don't know.
Even though I don't know, whatever. There's some new KOTOR-esque game trailer announced.
Interesting.
And then also new Tomb Raider game coming out that will have dinosaurs, but also it doesn't look like it's the same developers, but at least it's not a reboot of the story again. It's just like normal Tomb Raider where we're just jumping into crazy
things. That's fun.
So that, yeah, so that should be, I don't want to shoot dinosaurs, but I'll probably play that. We're back to shorts. We're not conservative cargo pant Lara. We got shorts again.
All right, great.
And we're back to back flipping up off ledges onto, yeah.
So, all right, so we're being it feels over
more
the top.
Like, yeah, it feels more like a normal Tomb Raider game rather than the like trying to be more realistic thing that the last few Crystal Dynamics things were.
You know, it's always nice to get a refresh, I guess.
Yeah. And then I guess as far as like these weren't from the Game Awards, but I know Code Vein 2 and Neo 3 come out next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking of replaying Code Vein, maybe.
And I do never really finished do
Neo 2. I don't know.
Do you really
want to
replay Code Vein?
Maybe.
It's like an aesthetics game. It's not really
it
like
I just
you need
like,
to care
no.
what happens.
That's true. That's
or play
true.
The game, which is the gameplay is kind of just all right.
That's true. Yeah, maybe I just want to hang out in the character creator and then be done. I just like downloaded and then uninstalled a bunch of stuff because I'm just like trying to find something to play.
Oh,
we'll see.
So I finished the game. I finished Perfect Tides. Mm-hmm. Finally, which is a it was like an indie game, came out in 2022. It's got like really nice pixel art. It's like a point and click adventure game. Let's see. You play as Mara, who's like a teenager who like lives on this like vacation kind of island community.
What is this called again?
It's called Perfect Tides. And it's like a coming of age thing of like you play as this teenager who's like on the computer a lot and like writing fanfic and other stuff. And then she's like trying to interact with like other people in her high school and like all this kind of stuff happens. And it's like a really like it's a really sweet game.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny. The pixel art looks really good, and when stuff happens in it, like there's a lot of really nice animations of her like dancing around and stuff. Yeah, I just had a really good time with it. It is a little hard to play because like I'm not coming from a lineage of point and click adventure games, so like there's stuff that you can miss doing that can like affect outcomes that I feel like are kind of just impossible to do if you don't follow a guide. But what I just did was I just played through it without stuff, and then I just watched the like the perfect ending on YouTube, and that's how I did it.
Oh, okay, nice.
But it was really fun. Yeah, it's like a 5-6 hour game. I think there is a sequel announced, so that's pretty exciting. But yeah, no, that was a good one. But I finished that up, and I got on to my friends wanted me to play Dispatch, so I'm playing Dispatch now.
Oh, okay. Who's it gonna be? Which I just keep seeing scenes of the chicks you can romance in that show.
That's
or
what
that game.
Yeah, that's what people have told me about. So in Dispatch, it's like a superhero world, right? Where it has a more like adult animation
agency.
Comedy humor, which like is a little bit it rides the line just enough for me to stay on board because I am very particular about like. Adult comedy stuff where what I'm looking for is like the balancing act that like the Venture Brothers does, which I really like, and not what like Rick and Morty does, which I think is kind of uninteresting and mean-spirited. So it's kind of right in that line.
Of those
what
but I'm assuming it's the difference of like intellectual like you had to be an adult to understand it versus be adult because like restrictions prevent you or like you can't hear swear words, kind of. There's like different ways to do things in an adult way.
Yeah, well, there's like adult stuff you can do that's like clever and like clearly thought out. Yeah. Like, you know, I was always like growing up, I was always a fan of like Futurama more so than like South Park. I feel like it's very easy for adult stuff to just go like, there's a lot of dick jokes in this, but it's not overwhelming. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The writing is pretty good in it, but that also kind of causes problems in the way that most like story games like this cause problems where they have you do. There are time sensitive responses you do. So like something will happen in a scene and you will react to it, right? Like, you'll have to say which button you're going to press, kind of like a Mass Effect type prompt of, like, you can pick three things, but it's time.
Sounds like Telltale.
Yeah, it's very much like that. But the problem is that, like, the game has nuance, right? But the options don't, because it's only, like, three options, and it'll give you, like, the first couple words of what you're going to say. So it's happened a couple times on some small things that haven't been that significant, but the thing is happening where I think my character is going to say one thing and they say something else with a completely different tone to it. That kind of takes me out of it.
Yeah, that's the good thing about the way that Dragon Age does their, because like Mass Effect, it's locked to morality. Basically, you know, like the highest one is going to be Paragon and the bottom one is going to be Renegade option. With Dragon Age, it's like it has an icon indicating the tone in which your character will say something, even though it's not telling you exactly, but it'll be like, that's how it's going to be coming off. And that's helpful, at least.
Yeah, that's helpful. But yeah, no, I mean, but like, it's more nuanced than like the thing with Mass Effect, right, is it's like you can either say the thing where you're like a good and helpful Boy Scout, or you can say the thing where you're like a conniving evil person, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's like you really don't have any way to express anything other than like cartoon morality.
Yep.
So this game has more stuff going on, which I like, but yeah, that's always going to be a thing. Really, I think what I need to do is just finally buckle down and play Disco Elysium.
But okay.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Because I feel like it's a game. Well, one, I'm afraid it's going to be very complicated. It seems maybe a little complicated, but I feel like I've heard incredible things about it. But also, I don't want to be some like washed up old dude, you know? I don't want to be some dude.
It seems like you can be the most unhinged washed up old dude ever.
Well, I don't want to be an unhinged washed up lady.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I shouldn't let that restrict me. It's restricting, but.
Yeah, so I should buckle down and play that, and then eventually I should play Baldur's Gate 3, but, you know, both those things are committing to me to, like, 60-plus hours of things.
Well, I've got it read down. We need a full party. I feel like I don't want to commit.
There is no way we could ever logistically work out a full party playthrough of this. I don't know if anybody in the entire world has ever done that.
Certainly somebody has. I just don't know any such people.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, nice. Okay, well, I guess, do we want to
get into the end of the show? The end of season one of My Happy Marriage.
Uh-huh.
A show that one of us likes.
Yeah. Half of Shoujo likes it. Like it, or you just don't hate it? I don't hate it. I just don't like it.
I like what these episodes a lot. Like, these episodes do all of the things I wanted it to do.
I guess on paper, but like,
I watched it with my own eyes as it does it.
I just mean it's like checking a list, but sure, it's like doing these things that we were hoping would happen, but I mean two episodes, is it enough time for those things to happen and for me to believe
it's enough time. Lots of cool stuff happens.
Whatever. Okay, let's get to it then.
All right. First, we're going to talk about some voice actors. I didn't know who to hit for this, so I hit two kind of weird ones. So the voice of the Emperor is Takayuki Sugo, who is the voice of Simon in Gurren Lagann, who's the little boy.
Interesting. Be some decrepit old man and then be the cute little kid from Gurren Lagann.
Yep. He's also the voice of the first Hokage in Naruto, who shows up a couple times. He's the voice of Zangetsu from Bleach, which is like the inside sword thing.
Yeah.
That shows up in original Bleach. And then he's also the voice of Uwatch in Bleach Thousand Year War. And then also he's just the voice of like every old man character in like a bunch of different things. I was like scrolling down the MyAnime list and all the portraits are of like old men with beards.
Which is why it's weird that he's Simon.
That's what it said. I don't know if it's true.
Are you sure he's not like the... I don't know.
Listen, I don't fact check my anime list. If it's in there, I'm going to report it. Even if I doubt it, it's in there.
Okay. On to the next. This character, no idea who that is. Who is that?
This is General Okaito, who we're going to learn has a significant relationship with one of the other members of the cast. They are voiced by Kenta Miyake, who is the voice of All Might in My Hero Academia, and the voice of Scar in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Two things we were just talking about.
Yep. Look at that.
Also plays Muhammad Avadol in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I've never seen that, but I know it's popular. He plays Shadow in Skate the Infinity, which I think is the clown guy. And he's also the voice of Snorlax in Pokemon. It's pretty good.
Like, it's strange to be credited Pokemon, because it's
probably a good game, saying, though.
Like, two words?
I mean, if you're the voice of Pikachu, you're going nuts. You're having to voice act out of your mind. Anyway, those are our voice actors for the end of season one. All right, My Happy Marriage. Episode 11 is called My Mother's Legacy. We open on Yashiro explaining Mio's mother's backstory. Before Mio was born, her family's company was failing and they didn't know what to do. And they were approached by the Sayamoris to marry Sumi in exchange for financial backing. But Yashiro refused to do that. This is a lot of names. Yashiro is like the old man who's in charge of the Asuba family. Sayamori is Mio's old family's name.
Yeah.
I guess they are technically her family still. Whatever. But things got worse, and Sumi went behind Yashiro's back to accept the proposal, claiming it would be best for the family. Also, Sumi is, like, clearly sick with something and is probably going to die soon.
Let me guess. Tuberculosis.
Yeah, she's got consumption,
baby. Everybody. It's everyone. Everyone gets it.
Yeah. Why not? It's in the past, anybody can die of tuberculosis. Now it would be kind of weird. After being married, Sumi was completely cut off from the rest of the Tsurugis, and, well, we all know what happens then. Yashiro, Arata, and Mio go outside to the Sakura tree, and Yashiro tells Mio to put her hand on it, and she does, and then she gets a vision of Sumi after her marriage. We see Sumi and Mio's father get instructions to have an Asuba child as quickly as possible, and we get a cut to Mio being born. Mio's father is happy to have a child and completely ignores his wife, who just gave birth.
Just like Oscar's dad.
Just like Oscar's dad, yeah. That's what old-time men used to do, I guess. Later, Sumi realizes that Mio has magical powers, but keeps it a secret from the rest of the Sayamoris. Sumi overhears a conversation where the Sayamoris tell Mio's father that they must have a powerful Asuba child or they will lose favor with the Emperor. Remember that for later. Sumi decides that if the Sayamoris discover Mio's powers, they will just exploit her, so she seals them away in the cherry blossom tree in the yard. And then the vision ends and Mio takes it all in. Elsewhere, Godo, Kyoka, and the crew fight the grotesqueries in the forest.
Very brief. The briefest of cuts.
Yeah, a brief encounter. We gotta be like, these guys are also doing stuff, by the way.
Yeah.
Later, Mio wakes up in the Asuba estate and is pretty much cured of nightmares. Arata arrives and orders Mio to wear the new Shrine Maiden clothes that are traditional for the Dream Maiden to wear. Time passes and Mio is stuck in the Asuba estate, missing Kyoka. While Kyoka has been fighting in the woods, which he is constantly doing. Sometime later, Arata and Mio are eating dinner together when Arata asks why she isn't happier. Mio requests that her Sakura kimono, which is the pink one, that she got from Kyoka, be returned to her, but Arata denies this request. So instead, that she asks if she could talk to Kyoka again to at least apologize, but Arata says that is a path to her leaving. He's like, you're gonna leave if you do that, so I'm also denying that request. Arata gets heated and says that he wants to protect her because it's his duty, and Mio is like, cool, but like, I still need to see Kyoka, so let me do that. Arata tells her that they have rules set by their ancestors, like not using their real last name, and only marrying within the family, and also not making any friends or anything, which just sounds really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Then he laments the fact that the Asuba family's role is to subdue rogue gift users, but throughout his entire life, they've never been called upon to do that. So far, his only job is to protect the Dream Maiden, so he's finally happy to have some role to play with his life. And he observes that he'll probably be her forever bodyguard and also probably her husband eventually. And Mio's like, ugh. So,
yeah, marry your cousin?
Yeah, yeah. She's not on board. Right. He's like, well, you have to understand this is my duty, so I have to do this.
Okay, I couldn't tell if I was watching it on like Facebook or something, but did she keep calling him my husband to be in the subtitles that you were seeing?
Or, she was just calling him Kyoka in my subtitles.
Okay, in my subtitles, it kept saying my husband to be. And I was like, my God, girl, that is such a, like, this can't be right. I knew it wasn't right. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to what she was literally saying.
Okay.
Maybe that is. Maybe she was saying something like that and they were just translating it to make it sound better.
Gotcha.
But yeah. Ugh. Bad vibes from Arata right here.
Yep.
Later, Arata wonders.
Sorry. There's. Look, it took 30 minutes to get our first Sarah interrupts Joe. I'm getting better. Yeah, there we go. Nope, I've already forgot what I was going
to do. You just wanted to do it. I just want to break up the flow of the summary.
I was going to say, you thought he was a love interest, and then we find out he's related. Just kidding. He is maybe a love interest.
Uh-huh. No doors are ever closed.
It'd be both, yes.
Later, Arata wonders to himself if he was wrong about Mio. He had assumed that they were the same, both wanting to fulfill their specific roles in life. But if that's the case, why does she keep wanting to see Kyoka so badly? Back in the woods, Goto is ambushed by a grotesque arena saved by Kyoka, but he suffers a major wound and passes out. Later, Mio goes to appeal to Yashiro directly. He tells her that Sumi was also stubborn like her. And if he hadn't pushed her away, then maybe none of this would have happened, and Mio would have had a nice childhood. Then he tells her that they're family, so she should rely on them. Mio confesses that she's never had a family, really, so she doesn't know what it means to have one. And Yashiro thanks her for sharing her feelings and tells her that families share burdens and lean on each other because they're unbreakable bonds.
This felt like what happened to we're keeping you hostage, mean grandpa, and now we're nice grandpa all of a sudden.
Well, I feel like this is pretty reasonable. Like, if you pay attention to, like, what they've been doing, they are, it turns out, before, okay, last episode I was accusing these guys of being evil because they're just like, we're here to protect Mio and do this stuff, and I'm like, oh, we've heard this before. But it turns out these guys were actually just genuine about that, which is wild. I didn't see this coming at all. Anyway, Mio asks Yashiro if he came to hate Sumi for leaving, but he says that that's ridiculous. He was always trying to protect her, but it caused her to pull away. If anything, he blames himself. And then he apologizes to Mio for not being there for her during her upbringing. They both go out to look at the Sakura tree again, and Mio connects with the tree again and gets a flashback of Sumi sealing away Mio's powers. Mio absorbs all of the powers out of the tree, fully regaining her dream spirit abilities. She sees a dream vision of her mother who tells her that she loves her as the vision fades. And Yashiro observes that Mio's full powers have returned, even though she was sucking it out of a different tree, but, it's cool.
Yeah, don't question it.
All Sakura trees are the same.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Arata rushes out to tell him that Kyoka was attacked by Grotesquerie and is in critical condition, and Mio rushes off, but Arata stops her. She breaks his grip and he loses his glasses, which he keeps off for the rest of the episode. She insists on going, and Arata tells her that she really can't go. And then Arata explains over Yashiro's protests that the real reason she can't go is that they made a deal with the Emperor to keep the Dream Maiden hidden from the rest of the world. And Mio is confused and asks why, but Arata doesn't know. It's just the terms of the deal. Anyway, we can't, like, defy the Emperor. He's the Emperor. But then Yashiro pats Arata, giving him tacit consent for Arata to take Mio to Kyoka. Arata tells Mio that he isn't giving up on her, but because she clearly wants to go see Kyoka and won't take no for an answer, she can go, but he's going to come with her.
Okay, you say he pats his... He smacks his ass!
Yeah.
He, like, smacks his butt!
Yeah, he does do that.
What? Oh, I was like, what is happening?
It's funny.
This is weird.
It's kind of funny.
This is weird.
Nah, they're bros.
Your grandpa smacking your booty.
They can do that. If you're a guy.
Weird. And also, let me pull my hair down so it looks better.
Yeah, he looks way better.
He does look way better.
We got two bullets. Yashiro is like, well, isn't this nice? We're like a real family. And then a servant brings Mio's Sakura kimono out to her and they drive off to see Kyoka. We cut to Kyoka pass out on a bed while everybody is gathered around him. Mio and Arata burst in and Mio goes to his side, and Arata observes that maybe Mio can wake him up using her dream sight powers, and Mio agrees, saying she'll try anything she can as we cut to credits. So it turns out they're cool, actually. It turns out the Asuma family is actually cool, and despite their, like, years of tradition of being shut-ins and antisocial, they're actually just like, you know what, go to the guy you're gonna marry. It's fine. We'll just defy the Emperor. Who cares? Whatever.
Well, it's like, it just feels like there's, like, hangups and then we're just getting over them. I don't know. It's just everything easy breezy now that we're
We're out of time.
The season.
We gotta go. Yeah. I mean, I do think it's nice. We do actually get, like, an example. Like, Mio gets an example of a family that is actually cool for once. You know, I mean, she hangs out with Kyoka, but Kyoka's one guy. It's not really her family. She doesn't have anybody that's like a grandpa. That's like her grandpa is cool, which is surprising to me.
All of a sudden, cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just turns out that they were actually genuine when they're talking about protecting Mio. Like, it seems like they're just trying to use her for something, but it turns out they were real, which, again, took me off guard because I am cynical. And I'm like, well, obviously, they're just going to use her as a tool. But they really don't. And that's nice.
Well, I guess we all thought, well, that's not true. I guess I've been crapping on everything ever since we started this podcast. So I'm like, I'm more cynical than Joe, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, I do like how they set up Arata here, where, like, he gives this whole speech about, like, oh, I've never, like, this is my role. I have to do this thing. And even when he's like, I guess I'll have to be your husband, he says it in a way that indicates that he doesn't really care. He just wants to have a job, basically. Like, he just wants to be useful for something.
Well, I guess I wish, like, we knew enough about him to know what it is he would rather be doing than just being like a, I'm a road block. Now I'm not. Now I'm helpful. Now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get to my like main criticism of this show in terms of that stuff. But yeah, like I do like this. I mean, it is there. You can read into it of like his you kind of get what his deal is, which is like he's just wanted to belong somewhere and like have a duty and to fulfill it. And this is what it is. So he got really into it. But as soon as he realized that this was like actually hurting his cousin, who he does actually like and care about, he pivots and is able to kind of navigate around that in a way that I think is nice.
Yeah. Well,
also, Kyoka gets attacked in the forest.
Yeah. Well, OK, I just was watching this and I was like, I so don't care about the like them in the forest thing. Like, it's supposed to be the part where it's cool because they have powers, but I'm like, this is the part I don't care about. Because I don't know, if you're going to have cool powers, make it, like, interesting. Ugh.
Yeah, the stakes of that. It's very much just like, we need Kyoka doing something for the plot, so we're going to have him fight in the forest. And it's like, all right, well, that's fine, I guess. But it does seem like he's just doing that for, like, I guess a month? Like, it seems like a lot of time passed.
It just, ugh.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. But yeah, anyway, you want to hit episode 12, the final episode?
Yep.
All right, My Happy Marriage, episode 12, is called Light in the Darkness. We open on a confused Kyoka finding himself in the blood-red forest alone. He wonders what's going on and if any of this is real, and then he's ambushed by some grotesqueries. And let me just say, all of the dream stuff in this episode is cool. I like all of this dream stuff, so I'm going to be commenting on it all the time. The blood red forest is a cool location for Kyoka to be stuck in purgatory for.
Okay, yeah.
Back in the real world, Mio is posted up next to Kyoka in a bed that's pushed together. Arata walks her through the process of entering Kyoka's dream. First, she needs to separate her soul from her body, and then she needs to enter Kyoka's dream, find him, and then usher him out. Everyone gives Mio some last-minute encouragement, and she starts. She enters a dream state and sees what I can only describe as a black hole event horizon.
Okay, I was like, we're in space now. I was like, holy shit. Happening?
It's awesome. And then she enters it and wakes up in a version of the Sayamori state. This is cool. I love the idea of, like, the way you exit your body is by going through a black hole. Awesome. Kyoka's still fighting in the Red Forest, and it's not going great for him. It's just endless fighting, but he's hanging in there. He speculates that he might be in a different world, but he can't die. He hears Mio's voice, but can't find its source. Elsewhere, Mio wanders around the Phantom Sayamori Estate. The halls are dark and empty, but she hears a laugh of a little girl and follows it. The girl beckons her to follow, and we get a pretty cool POV shot of Mio opening a sliding door. It's like out of Resident Evil. It's like the thing where you open the doors in Resident Evil. It's cool. We're just doing genre stuff now. Mio sees
season
a girl.
Finale has it all.
Yeah, this is good. Mio sees a girl that looks like a younger version of her. And the younger Mio tells her to catch her if she can, and then she jumps through several sliding doors into the darkness.
The sliding doors made me think of, like, the bathhouse in Spirited Away.
It very much is like that. This is, like, directly, yeah. It's like Mio is stuck in the like, mansion in Fatal Frame. It's really good. I love haunted, like, old Japanese estate. Good.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they should have leaned into this more, like,
yeah. This is awesome. This
spooky
is great.
Elements
as soon
more,
as we do it,
yeah.
like crazy dream stuff, and it's like a horror trope vibe stuff off of it is good. I'm like leaning all the way in. Mio follows the phantom and runs into a room with water on the floor. A door emerges from the ground, and it's the same door to the storehouse she was locked in and tortured by her stepmother earlier in the series. She opens it and goes in to see another version of herself dressed in her, like, house worker outfit from when she was still with her old family. Also cool, the water, the door emerging from the water, good stuff. Back in the forest, things are getting more dire for Kyoka. He thinks about Mio and how he's supposed to save her, but now she might have to come and save him instead. He thinks that he needs to apologize to her and won't be able to do that if he dies here, so he's gotta hold out. In the dream storehouse, Mio confronts herself. Phantom Mio tells real Mio that she won't be able to see Kyoka because she doesn't deserve to be with him. She disregards his kindness and only hurts him. Look at him now. He's like wandering the darkness forever and it's all her fault. No, instead Mio should just be alone again because it's so much easier that way. You can't drag anybody down if you're by yourself. Real Mio says that it's true that she does feel that way, but she's tried to change herself, even if she isn't really sure if she has. However, she doesn't feel that way anymore. And Phantom Mio asks if it's because she has magical powers now, and Real Mio says no.
Yes.
It was not because of my magical powers, thank you very much.
It's 100%.
It happened before that. She realized that she has people in her life that love her and believe in her now, and that's what's giving her strength. Which is true, because she needs the strength to obtain her
like
magical powers.
Changed her tune as soon as she's got power. She's all.
That's not what happened. They directly address it in this scene. Clearly she understands what family is and feels the power of family and people supporting her to gain the confidence to absorb her dream powers and also assert leaving the Asuba mansion, which she does. So I think she's realized before she uses her dream magic powers. And the dream magic powers are just like an awesome bonus that we're going to get to. Anyway, Phantom Mio does not appear to accept this answer, just like Sarah, and says that that's an illusion. She magically thrusts ropes at Mio's directions that turn into thorn vines. And she says that life was hell from the beginning. And the only way to survive was to retreat into her shell. Real Mio says that it was like that, but it doesn't have to be that way anymore. But Phantom Mio says that it does need to be that way. Otherwise, she's just going to get hurt again. Just give up on a brighter future, she says. It's easier that way. But Real Mio says no, she isn't going to give up. Kyoka is kind, and with him, she can have a better life. And then Real Mio approaches Phantom Mio and breaks through the vines while saying she's going to believe in herself and in Kyoka. And as she tears through the vines, her outfit transforms into the Dream Maiden Shrine outfit. But it's cooler this time because it's got green
in
it.
Mm-hmm. She's not just Kikyo anymore.
Yeah.
She's got a little head ribbon thingy.
Yeah. She hugs Phantom Mio and says that they can finally find happiness together. And Phantom Mio says that sounds nice before fading out. And in her place, Mio finds the purple hair tie she made for Kyoka, radiating with magical energy. Good.
I feel like I think the scene is good, and like the way the dialogue between them is. I just like one. I think Phantom Mio is more interesting than the Mio we had before. Like, at least she's articulating the things that before she would just like whimper sadly. And I feel like we didn't get anything. Phantom Mio is telling us what's what and like what she was thinking all this time, which would have been nice to have a bit more of. And I would have been more sympathetic if I got that earlier. But
I mean,
and I don't know.
I mean, Phantom Mio is like the manifestation of her like past trauma coping mechanisms, right? Of like, you just gotta keep your head down. You just gotta like lay low. Don't make any connections to anything. Just don't get hurt by the stuff. Just become numb to everything. And like, this is Mio addressing her old self and being like, things can be different. We have to like look towards the future. We have to be able to open ourselves up to new experiences, etc., etc. I mean, this is the most. There's no subtlety here. What's happening? Which is I like this.
There was. Like getting from that to that, I just feel like we didn't have enough time, or like there wasn't enough. It just feels like it happened. Like all of a sudden, boom, she's like a different person. Who is this person? Like she just had to be sitting in a room with her maid.
Well,
I'm not convinced by the family connection.
This is like, it's not just the family. I mean, this is stuff people have been telling her the entire show, right? Like, this is information that she's been got, and then she had the time to process all of it, and now she's putting it into action, right? Like, this is convincing to me in terms of, like, this is the real A plot of the show for me. And I think this is convincing in terms that she is, like, able to, you know, have some kind of revelation here. I mean, the direct confrontation here is part of the revelation, I think. And moving past, you know, for her, like, past trauma and how she's dealt with that and being able to open herself up more.
Well, I guess I would have liked it more if, like, they showed the accumulation of all the things she's learned rather than her just coming. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. Maybe I need my handheld more through it or something. I don't know.
Well, it sounds like you just wanted it to be signaled more that it was happening, like, internally for her. I mean, I can kind of see that, but I don't know. The like gravitas of this scene is compelling to me. I can give into the astonishment of her transforming into a shrine maiden and destroying all these vines. I'm like, hell yeah. I'm hype.
Yes. Well, it's also like, oh, she just comes already knowing how to use her powers. There's no like, let me learn how to use the powers. Although I guess we have never seen any learning.
Yeah, nobody's learned anything
ever of any powers in this show. Everyone just has them. There's no training, like anything. So I guess it just comes naturally once you got them.
Yep.
But I just feel like in a world, normally, you know, it's just normally it's like we don't have magic. So we like, it's fun to see like her be taught how you would learn how to use it.
Yeah, but the show isn't really about that yet. Maybe season two will have some stuff.
Why is there powers? Yeah. It's just not as fun. Anyway,
we come back to Kyoka, who's really on his last leg. Suddenly, Dream Maiden Mio shows up in front of him and uses a barrier to destroy the surrounding grotesqueries. Kyoka's like, holy shit, Mio, is that you? And she sees that he's hurt, but he insists that it looks worse than it is, as more grotesqueries appear around them. We cut back to the real world, where another forbidden ritual is taking place in the woods. Clearly, these guys are the ones that are trapping Kyoka in the Red Fir Forest Purgatory place. The Emperor himself shows up and learns that Mio is interfering, and he comments on how the Kudos are now an existential threat to all of them, and that he joins in on the ritual himself. In the Red Forest, the grotesqueries all form into a giant Emperor-powered ball of evil. Mio turns to Kyoka and asks if he trusts her, and he says he does, and they hold hands. The Emperor shouts that this is my will as the evil ball starts to strike at Mio and Kyoka. Mio, with the hair tie wrapped around her hand, shoots off a gigantic barrier that incinerates the evil ball. It's so powerful that it also blows up the Emperor in real life. Mio kills the Emperor, I think. It's awesome.
Like,
she shoots a beam from her hand, Sarah. How can you not be into this? Okay. A beam. It's what I wanted.
I think I just like knowing things more than I do. This show.
She blows up the Emperor. Like, she kills the Emperor of Japan.
I guess. Well, unconfirmed. Well, I don't know.
It is kind of unconfirmed. Whatever. Nobody acts like he's dead, but he definitely blows up.
We got season two. But, like, look, this guy, we thought we were building some C-plot whatever, done. Writing him off onto the next season.
Dude, and hell yeah, she blows up the Emperor.
Gone. What is happening? I don't know. I'm just like, we don't even know what he wanted.
Well, we learn what he wanted in the next episode.
Next episode.
Sarah.
I didn't see another episode.
Sarah, did you not watch the OVA like we talked about?
I didn't see the option for that on the site that I was watching it on, because not all of a sudden Netflix, Sarah, if I'm being honest.
Okay. Do you want me just to summarize it? You could just react to what happens in the OVA?
Yep. Your summaries are more compelling than the show that I watched.
All right. Wow. Okay. She blows up the Emperor and you don't even care.
Why should I care? We don't even know anything about what
the Emperor.
I didn't know anything.
He's the Emperor.
Okay. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, the Red Forest is dispelled, leaving Kyoka and Mio standing in an infinite pond with a cherry blossom tree behind them. It's pretty cool. It's like a thing that happens in Kingdom Hearts. Absolutely. They're in like a Kingdom Hearts location. I'm pretty sure this is what happens in Kingdom Hearts 3 at some point. Anyway, Kyoka comments that after everything, it was Mio who protected him, not the other way around. And she offers him the hair tie and explains that this is how she found him. He accepts it and has Mio tie it back into his hair. Mio then apologizes for saying that she didn't care if she stayed with him or not. That was a lie, she says. She really wants to stay with him. And then Kyoka apologizes for getting angry and being baited into a duel. He's like, I probably shouldn't have done that. That was really stupid. And they both embrace after understanding each other's feelings. See, look, they apologize for the things they said they should apologize for. It's great. Mm-hmm. I get everything I want.
Well, he didn't say, sorry, I should have asked. He just apologized for being baited into a duel, but he should have been like, I should have checked with whatever.
He's like, sorry, I got so angry and just like went and did whatever I wanted. Yeah.
Yes. I guess she can't get mad because he was having a whole thing of trying to get her to open up to him and she wasn't. So it's not like he can then be like, I should have tried again. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. Anyways. No.
It was good. This was a good apology, and they're happy, and they understand each other. In the real world, Kyoka's hand twitches, and everyone starts calling out to them. Back in the Infinity Pond, they hear their friends and family call to them, and they are lifted up to the heavens, where they eventually wake up.
I think they should have not showed them floating up to the sky, and they should have just cut to... I was just like, we're just floating into the sky for no reason.
I like it. I think it's fun. I think visually this episode looks really good. I like all these locations. I like all of the dream stuff. Blown up looks pretty good too.
Yeah.
Mio wakes up to see that everyone and next to her Kyoka also wakes up, and Goto is very, very goofily hugs Kyoka and makes a big scene. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
While that's happening, Arata tries to slip out, but Mio sees and catches him in the hallway. She thanks him for everything, but tells him that she probably can't go back with him. And Arata's like, yeah, I pretty much figured you wouldn't. But you know, you should still consider yourself part of the family. Kyoka comes
Maybe
out.
Maybe she just killed the emperor so that her new family doesn't get in trouble with
it. But he doesn't know that at this point. He's also like, yeah, I killed the emperor, so we're like in the clear, but he doesn't know that right now.
No.
Kyoka comes out and tells him that they'll have a rematch sometime, and Arata laughs and says sure, and then he leaves. Elsewhere, Prince Takahito tells Okaito that this was all the Emperor's fault, and reveals that the Emperor had lost his divine revelation, and out of his fear, all of this stuff happened, and that Takahito is going to have to repay some debts, and we're going to get a longer explanation of this in the OVA.
Okay, I'm excited to hear about that.
Later, Kyoka and Mio return home as the credits start to play. We get a montage of Mio and Kyoka living together and having a great time. In a voiceover, Mio says that she no longer has nightmares and loves living with Kyoka as we cut to credits. We get a post-credit scene. It's time for the party. Hey, remember the party we were training to go to? Well, we're going to it. Kyoka waits for Mio, who comes out in a white dress. She asks how she looks, and he says that she's beautiful. And Kyoka is just wearing his military dress uniform, which is not that great, but whatever. Who cares? Just wear your stupid uniform you wear all the time. Ugh. They're about to walk in together when Kyoka requests that Mio tell him that she wants to marry him again. And she gets all bashful and asks if he's sure that he'd want to marry her. And he says, of course. And they both walk into the party together. Cut to black. End of episode 12.
All right. Good. On the Shoujo bingo card, is Sarah not watching all the episodes? It's becoming a regular thing.
OVAs, man. You never watch the OVAs.
It wasn't listed on the site I was watching it through.
All right. Well, you're going to get some info. We get some information in these OVAs, in this OVA. But yeah, good. I like this episode. It's good. Good ending. It does kind of feel like it's the end of the series. I'm kind of surprised they kept going. She does blow up the Emperor.
Yeah.
Arata is cool. They all make peace. Yeah. No, it's good. I think I've said most of the stuff about that I wanted to say about this.
Okay. Well, maybe once I get the answers of episode 13.
All right. We'll go through 13.
We'll be satisfied.
We'll go through 13. All right. Episode 13 is an OVA called The Shape of My Happiness. It's on Netflix. If you watch it through that, it's like just the next episode, but I guess not on all sites. We open on Mio and Hazuki getting ready for the party together. Mio is nervous, but Hazuki tells her that it's fine. She's been doing great in practice and has nothing to worry about. And we also see a little boy peek into the room, and he looks angry. Ooh, angry little boy. We cut to Mio walking out to Kyoka. We get a replay of the post-credit scene from the last episode. They walk into the party, which is full of men and women in suits and dresses, except for Kyoka, who's wearing his military uniform. We see that kid again, and as he overhears some people gossiping about Kyoka and Mio, Kyoka and Mio walk past, and Mio observes that they're being talked about, but Kyoka tells her not to worry about it. Hazuki greets them and tells Mio not to worry. Everything's going great. Then we see that boy call out to his mother, and he runs up to Hazuki, and Hazuki introduces The boy as her son, Asahi, to Mio. She has a son named Asahi.
Okay.
He's like six or something. She explains that she
didn't
has...
see that coming.
Yeah. She explains that she has limited visitation rights and only sees him a couple times a month, which is why we haven't heard about
him.
Okay,
and this is from her husband that she's just dinging along with the mom?
Yep.
So she left even though she had a kid?
Yep. Makes more sense as to why that's your biggest regret.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yep. I was also like, did we know this? Did I know this? I don't think we knew this.
No, we did. We super did not know this.
Mio greets Asahi, but Asahi criticizes Mio's greeting, saying that she didn't bow low enough.
Oh.
And Hazuki's like, come on, don't be rude. But clearly Asahi does not like Mio. In the corner, Gotō gets drunk on wine and complains that Kyoka... He complains to Kazuyoshi, the guy, that Kyoka is only nice to Mio and never nice to him. He's like, how come you won't be my boyfriend? How come I can't date Kyoka? I love this guy. We do comedy bits and he's never nice to me. It's very funny. Mio is like, hey, Kyoka, was my bow really not that good? But Kyoka's like, listen, it was fine. Don't listen to some kid.
Some kid? That kid's your nephew.
He's like, don't listen to my nephew. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
What does this kid look like? Does he look like her? I should just look up.
Yeah, look up a picture.
Okay.
He's got like a bowl cut kind of.
Oh, no.
The party continues with that issue. Mio ends up talking with lots of people and seems to handle it pretty well. Eventually, she reunites with Kyoka, who invites her to meet somebody on the roof. It's Takahito and Okaito. Takahito has requested to meet with Mio and Kyoka. The four of them sit down, and Okaito introduces Takahito as the second son of the Emperor who has divine revelation. And Mio's like, holy shit, the Emperor's son is here? But Kyoka's like, it's fine, it's cool, we know him. Takahito goes into a long explanation about everything that's happened up to this point. It has all been the Emperor's fault. The Asuba's declining company, Sumi's marriage to the Sayamori's, everything. He thought that he was in the clear when Sumi died, who had only one daughter who wasn't gifted, because he is afraid of the Dream Maiden. But when he learned that Mio was gifted, he freaked out, and then learning that she would marry Akuto was too much, and he hatched this big plot with the grave to unleash all the bad guys, and everything happened. So basically, his whole deal was that he lost Dream Sight, which is his ability to see the future, and then he, like, got paranoid about the Dream Maiden, and so he was doing everything to stop Mio from being with Kudo, and he launched this crazy plan and put everybody in danger, and he says all of this.
Wait, so how did he find out she had her powers before she got them back, or how did he find out she had powers?
I don't quite know. It's like the Asubas found out somehow.
And what? They found out, and so they told him because they wanted her from... And so they made some deal or something?
Yeah, like, this is... Like, we saw early on about Arata making a deal with the Emperor, being like, oh,
yeah,
we'll get Mio and hide her away if you let us do that. So he let them do that. It's basically, like... This is, like, extremely the plot of Dune to me. Where it's like, oh, one family's getting too strong, so I need to hatch this complicated plot to destroy them. And then it backfires, which is exactly what happens here. Anyway, that's what happened. It's all the Emperor's fault. And we give this whole explanation without ever acknowledging if he's dead or not.
I guess presumed dead. I looked at the kid. He's cute.
Yeah, he's cute.
He does is mischievous looking.
Takahito apologizes.
I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Now I'm like, I don't know anything, but I'm like hoping a plot of season two is that she gets together with her husband. If she
maybe
was sad that they didn't work out. Maybe Mio will destroy her. Her mother-in-law in the dream world or whatever. Just get rid of all the villains.
That'd be funny. Takahito apologizes to Mio for everything, but she says that it all worked out in the end. And Takahito's like, oh, cool. Well, I gotta go. See you later. And then leaves. And I'm like, Mio, you need to ask for financial compensation. Always ask the rich guy for financial compensation. Come on. Kyoka's like, wow, you really held your own with the Emperor's son. And Mio's like, ooh. Back in the party, Asahi drinks some juice, but is startled when he sees Mio and accidentally spills it all over her white dress. And she's like, hey, are you okay? But he doesn't say anything. We cut to Mio, Hazuki, Asahi, and Kyoka in a side room where Hazuki is trying to spot clean Mio's dress when General Okaito comes in. Mio's surprised to see him, and Hazuki tells her that Okaito is her ex-husband.
Okay, I need to and now I gotta look up who this guy is. Okaito.
It's Kyoka's boss.
Is he only in this episode? Oh. Now what? Okay. I want them to work out.
Yeah.
I have this. Oh, okay. Was there tension? Tension, no, tell me.
They
were everything. Good.
They both take the blame for not watching Asahi better. Hazuki asks Asahi why he's been in such a bad mood, and Asahi says that she's been spending all her time with Mio and not with him. Okaido apologizes to Mio for Asahi. He's like, oh, he seems to have the wrong idea. Sorry, I didn't notice this earlier. Hazuki hugs Asahi and tells him that isn't the case. And Asahi asks Hazuki who she loves more, Mio or him. And Hazuki turns the question on him and asks if he loves his mother or father more. And then she explains that you can love two people at the same time without ranking them.
No, it's your child. You're supposed to love. I think that's fair to turn it around. He's a child.
Nope, you don't gotta competitively rank your family. This is
just some lady you met. Oh, okay, it's a me thing.
She's like, we may not live in the same house, but we're all still family. Mio tells Hazuki that she thinks of her as her sister after hearing her say that she loves her. And Hazuki gushes for a bit and then tells Asahi that they're all family here. And Asahi apologizes to Mio and everybody is in good spirits again. In a voiceover, Kyoka tells us that there is no set meaning as to what it means to be in a family. And then talks about his happiness with Mio. We get scenes of Koji practicing swordsmanship in Kyoto and Kaya cleaning a house. And they both seem to be doing okay. Mio gets a postcard from Hannah and shows it to Kyoka. And Kyoka leans in to give her a kiss, but they are interrupted by Harada, who just bursts in suddenly. They give him
a kiss. We haven't seen them kiss.
We haven't seen them kiss, and he was about to. They give Harada tea, and he tells him that he's here because he wants them to hire him as Mio's bodyguard. And he's like, you saw what happened. We've been talking about how she needs a bodyguard forever. You should hire me to do it.
He heard us talking on the Shoujo podcast because I was saying, I'm surprised there isn't some kind of bodyguard. My God, I predicted this.
No, because like, man, I don't have time for this. I got to go to work. Like, you guys work this out. But then he's interrupted by calls from Hazuki saying that she's coming in. And then her and Yurie show up and Hazuki's like, hey, Arata, what are you doing here? And he's like, he tells her the plan and she's like, that's a great idea. Wouldn't it be cool if for season two, we're all hanging out in the house together?
Be a bit more lively, that's for sure.
Yep. Mio sees Kyoka off to work. She reties his hair tie and asks him to lean down again. And he does. And she pats his head this time and tells him to do his best. And he's like, are you patting my head? And she gets embarrassed. But then he's like, no, I like it. And then he kisses her on the forehead.
Oh, love a forehead kiss.
He sets off and she follows to tell him to have a good day, and they exchange one last look before he leaves for the day, and Mio thinks about how they'll have a beautiful life together as we cut to credits.
Yeah, that sounds like we don't need a season two, honestly.
It really doesn't. I mean, I like that they're setting up the sitcom family at the end.
Okay, but that makes it seem like season one and season two are gonna seem like they came from alternate dimensions.
I know. But I'm excited for season two.
Down.
Oh, finally, some characters interacting in this house. It's not just this, like, depressing empty house with just the two of them in it.
We'll have to see. I'm like, can't there be such a drastic departure between seasons?
Season two is just a sitcom. Like, it's not even, like, we're not even doing magical stuff anymore. It's just, like, Arata being the weird uncle and wacky antics. Oh, that would be so good.
Yeah, I'm very curious. Okay, because I was like, oh, God, here we go. Season two. What the hell is this going to be? But at least maybe there'll be some joy.
Some joy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There it is. That's the end of season one in the OVA. What did you think of the OVA recap I gave you?
Well, I guess a lot.
You should probably watch it.
I can watch it. But yeah. Well, it's weird that why would it be an OVA? Are they just going to, is this what the first episode of season two is going to be?
I don't know.
Why is it just episode 13? Why is it gotta be different?
I don't know. Maybe it didn't air on TV or something. I don't know why it's an OVA.
Maybe this is just, I don't know. Maybe this is, we'll see. But, okay. Well, I already am like, okay, now I can root for Hazuki and whatever his face is to reunite. Maybe there's gonna be a parent trap like episode where Asahi's trying to get his parents back together.
Oh, dude, did we just do the parent trap for season two?
Yeah.
That would be good.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Interesting. Okay. Well, I don't think that's going to change my rankings, this OVA, but gives me a bit more interest in season two, which is what we're covering after this. So, we're just going to roll right into it, people.
All right.
So we'll see if I change my tune at all.
You heard her.
But I kind of just felt like I've seen, I don't know. This is just making me want to watch something better. Like, or wishing for more from the show, but maybe I'm being picky. I think I just like...
Just a hater.
Well, maybe I'm just... You're smart and you can pick up the pieces, and I just like to be very much told what's happening at all times.
Yeah.
I like it be shown to me.
Well, I don't think... I don't think... Like, not necessarily that. I mean, my biggest complaint about this show is that it spends a lot... It tries to be a mystery too much, I feel like. And it doesn't do enough character work. Like, I wish the stuff of, like, Kyoko meets with this PI a lot, and it's just kind of, like, building tension. But then I don't feel like the payoff is, like, enough of a mystery for it to be a standalone. Like, that's not satisfying. Especially because, like, there's really not much you can figure out on your own. So I don't think it really works as a mystery. But I think the character work is pretty good when they have it. I just wish they spent more time doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we can learn more about him as a character. That'd be nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wish they spent more time on that.
Yeah. Or like how him and Godo, maybe we get a flashback how him and Godo kind of became friends or something. I need something. He's just generically nice guy, but pretended not to be, but dropped the facade immediately.
Yeah, I wish there were, we could spend more time with that.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of like. Let's pretend this character is this. Psych, they're not, problem solved immediately.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
But I don't know. I like the last episode does a lot of like heavy lifting, which I think is good. But I wish there was more of that sprinkled throughout.
Yeah.
Because again, I mean, this really is going into like, yeah, this is probably a good series just to binge. This is probably not a good series to go slowly through.
Yeah. I feel like there's some, I don't know, what's like a short, I don't know. It's the only show of this duration we have is so different from this show.
Yeah. Sign of Affection.
In like every way. Yep. Yes. Well,
yep.
I guess, do we want to roll into our rankings now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Any other
Let's do the rankings.
Thoughts? Okay.
I don't have any other big closing thoughts. I really don't know what season two is going to be about. It does feel like this is the end, but I'll be interested. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm kind of glad we're rolling into it. You know, I like the show. I'll be interested to see what the new Mio is like. You know, again, I feel like,
yeah,
we'll talk about it when we get, we'll talk about it when we do the rankings. I feel like I'll talk about this stuff individually. But this is the part of the show when we finish a show, which we did for season one. Maybe, should we just wait actually for doing season two, for doing it all together?
Yeah, I guess we
should, because we decided we're going to. Okay. All right. Well, we're not going to do our rankings right now. Sorry to disappoint. Let me talk about what the rankings would have been affected by. How about that? So like right now, Mio is not that high in the protagonist rating for me because she spent a lot of the show kind of incapacitated, I feel like. And like traumatized and stuff like that. Like, she didn't get a lot of agency until the end. I mean, part of the arc is her about like finding her agency, which is good, but it's also kind of hard to compete with some of the other protagonists on this list when that is what's happening. So I am looking forward to season two to see what she is like, because I do like her.
Maybe by the end of season two, I'll like it. It's like, okay, this would have been better as all one season where I wasn't dividing it in my mind, and then it's weaker for being split in half.
Yeah.
And not being like considered the whole thing. Did you say we think there's going to be a season three, though?
Yeah, there was going to be a season three.
So it's
going
to keep going.
We can do the rankings for whenever we catch up. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, you guys already know basically where this is like not high on any of my list, except for
the couples is pretty good. The couples is like pretty. Mostly because we've had a lot of bad
Mio's
couples.
Mom. That's the only upset we'll have is that Mio's mom is like a lot better Mio's than mom, most top moms tier. In our shows.
Top tier mom. Yes. That one's good. The opening, whatever. Opening song.
Yep.
I will say this show is very lousy in the side characters department.
It is, truly. Like, because we barely get anything from our main characters, let alone side characters.
Yeah. That's been pretty bad. So hopefully season two will, that's the ground it has to cover.
Yep. Well, by the sounds of it, maybe that's what's going to happen.
I hope so.
Rod's going to find a little girlfriend maybe, and that's not his cousin, hopefully. and they actually get married, perhaps, or we're just going to keep having more interruptions to the actual marriage. Maybe they'll kiss by the end of
Hopefully
the show.
They'll kiss. They didn't actually kiss. They did a forehead kiss, which is not good enough for me. Insufficient. You guys did a beam together. You guys did like a team attack. You got to be able to kiss after that. I mean, come on.
Uh-huh. Ooh, maybe they have like, maybe we have like where she trains her powers, but they do it within a dream where they're like facing off within the dream world or something.
Oh, that would rule.
That could be fun.
That would be good.
Bonding.
Yeah.
Or they're just macking on each other in their dreams. Or she like goes and sneaks into his dreams. Or what if she like spies on his dreams?
Oh, that'd be messed up.
That'd be crazy. Ooh, it's like reading someone. It's like looking at someone's phone.
Yeah.
Oh, scandal. Okay, maybe something like that will happen.
Maybe something like that will happen. Maybe. I mean, we got to begin. It's got to be the Kyoka family stuff, right? Like, we got to learn who his parents are. They're probably still around.
For real.
And that's got to be what it's about, right?
And they're not going to like her for some reason. And then, I don't know, something. Or they're mean to him and she stands up for him. Now that she's all.
What if they're just weird?
You know, super powered up. She's got it.
What if they're just like really weird people?
The confidence. Hmm? Yeah, maybe. We'll see, I guess.
I don't know.
You guys will just have to stay tuned along with us.
Yep.
There's season two of My Happy Marriage.
We roll into season two, I guess.
Next week.
Six more episodes if we do two and up.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what the pacing looks like.
Yeah, we'll see what the pacing for two is.
I guess we should just keep the two.
We'll keep it at two and maybe we'll move up to three. Another OVA at the end of the season. So don't forget that.
Great. Okay. Well, I'm going to be so freaking good this
time. Uh-huh.
I'll watch the OVA for real.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, before we part ways, Joe.
Uh-huh. I thought you were about to like tell me something. Like you have news for me. Rate and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. We love it when our audience numbers go up. One day I'll know what those numbers are, but I still don't. So please tell your friends, tell your family. Hey, you know how that last time we said if half your family is evil, your whole family is evil, but then that turned out not to be true. So like maybe half your family is cool and want to listen to this Shoujo podcast with you. So you should tell them that. You should find your not evil half of your family and tell them about our podcast and then give us 5 stars because it really helps us out. So please do that.
It's much appreciated.
End of my appeal. End of appeal.
Okay, lesson learned. Check to see what Joe's mom thinks before you publicly state your thoughts on the show.
It's fine for you guys to have different opinions. She hasn't seen as much anime as you have, so maybe she'll be like watching more stuff and then she'll be like, oh, this is so derivative, you know?
Uh-huh, maybe. What if I just have, now I'm questioning everything. What if I have terrible taste?
You're a hater. You know, I was worried when we did this show that because I'm like a guy commenting on media for girls, that I would just come.
Oh, you mean the podcast?
I would just come across as a huge hater and like a non-believer in love and the power of believing in yourself and all that other stuff. But it turns out I'm actually the supporter of that stuff here.
I've just never been asked to voice my opinions aloud before.
I have so much power here. I can just say anything.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to think, like, I don't think I need to re-listen to our old shows and see if I'm just shitting on everything or if it's just my number two show, Tiaifuru, in this.
Yeah.
I think I was digging.
I'm going to be honest.
Rosa Versailles.
You were kind of shitting on Tiaifuru throughout that thing, too.
No, that's what I'm saying. The last two shows, I feel like I've been especially negative, but I think other than that, I don't know, maybe 2026 has just beat me down and I'm just like a curmudgeon.
Oh,
now.
No. Well, we'll watch something fun. Maybe we'll do that Star Wars
or
Christmas special. And that'll be, we'll all be positive about that. We can find some time to watch that, maybe.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes, we can do that.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We're going to have goals for 2026 of Shoujo, Sarah's New Year resolution. Find the joy in things.
I'm going to read the Rosa Versailles manga instead of only sitting on half of it read. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
what did we learn?
Any for real lesson learned? Okay. I just had my lesson learned already. I guess like from the show and not real life lesson.
Yeah. If you're the emperor and you're trying to get rid of someone called the Dream Maiden, maybe don't attack her in a dream. Maybe that's the worst place you could ever possibly confront her 1v1. You probably should wait till she wakes up and confront her in the real world where she's just some woman and you're the emperor. Instead, he blows himself up. Point. I hope he's dead. I hope we get confirmation that he's dead. I think
so. It seems pretty final.
It seemed like it, but they never actually said for sure. But yeah, don't fight somebody on their terms. Fight them on your terms. Also, just don't be paranoid about the Dream Maiden. She's chill, actually. You could have just invited her over and just talked it out, and she would have been normal. And you could have been like, all right, well, she's not a threat to me. She's normal. But yeah, that's my advice if you're the Emperor of Japan.
Okay, you heard it here. Believe in yourself. We're done.
Change your coping mechanisms. Destroy the version, not destroy, comfort the version of you who wants to retreat in their shell and take the easy path to avoid getting hurt. Develop the maiden powers, explode into a cool maiden outfit as you tell them that it's going to be okay. You can open yourself up to the future, and then shoot a cool beam out of your hand and destroy a giant monster. Get lost in the estate from Fatal Frame.
All right.
Get stuck in dreams. Horror dreams forever.
We're done here.
If you see a small version of yourself, chase after them. They're good. Nothing bad will happen to you.
If I say something, are you
good? I can't think of another one, so I think we're good.
Okay, that's it. We're done here, folks. Catch you next time on Shoujo.
Episodes, season 2, episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah.